Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living a Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class.
Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I am Jennifer Hadley, and this is our sixth class in this series of 11 classes. Yesterday we had the brilliant and beautiful Lisa Natoli guiding us to a life of joy. And today I'm going to share my own thoughts and insights on that topic that Lisa picked for us. And I like to begin everything with a prayer. It sets the energy field for us to be in the mode of healing. So let's get into the mode of healing right now. I invite you to place your hand on your heart and take a breath of love and gratitude with me. Breathing in love, breathing out gratitude, we're grateful and thankful to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self, consciously choosing to recognize I am that I am. And we are one with the I am presence of every being everywhere. So grateful and thankful to remember the unity of all life. We open ourselves to divine guidance, insight, and wisdom. We allow ourselves to be led and fed by the Spirit. We are grateful and thankful to surrender any and all limiting thoughts and beliefs. We're allowing ourselves to be set free. We're recognizing that joy is unconditional. It is our natural state. We are willing to live a life of joy. In gratitude, we declare that our time together is profoundly inspiring, uplifting, and healing, that it is a permanent healing that we are calling forth and allowing ourselves to accept. We accept it on behalf of everyone because we're one with them. Our healing is the healing of all. In gratitude, we allow the healing to be. And so it is. Amen. 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 Yes, indeed. So a life of joy, a life of health and wealth and happiness, a life of wholeness and freedom and wisdom and clarity. All of these spiritual qualities are our true identity. They are our true nature. A Course in Miracles calls them the great rays. And it says that when we know the truth, we will see our brothers and sisters as they really are, which are these great rays, these spiritual qualities shining forth. That's our true nature. That's our true identity. And we are not a body. We are not a personality. We are perfect light. And we are made in the image and likeness of our Creator. And we have been endowed with the power of our Creator, the power to make choices and to choose whether we'd like to shine our light into the world or to shine our opinions and judgments into the world. And whichever we choose, we will experience the effect of. So to me, one of the most important things for us to understand about truly living A Course in Miracles and being truly helpful is that we must come to understand and recognize the law of cause and effect. And there's a beautiful section in chapter 2 of the text on cause and effect. And one of the things that it says in there is that most or many spiritual seekers or students are not comfortable recognizing the power of cause and effect because we don't wish to know how powerful we are. We don't wish to know how powerful our thought and our word is. We don't wish to know how powerful our belief is because we're not willing to be consistent. And so without being willing to be consistent, we have this tendency to miscreate. And Jesus tells us that we're far too tolerant of mind wandering and miscreating. So when our mind wanders to thoughts of separation, lack, limitation, then we're going to begin experiencing or miscreating our life. And in that experience of lack, attack, limitation, and separation, we tend to disown the fact that the cause is our thinking. It's the stinking thinking. Instead, we wish to blame the circumstances, the situation, the external, for what we're experiencing. So we tend to say, well, I feel badly about myself because of what people did to me. I feel badly about myself because of what people said to me. I am not happy in my job because the aspects of my job make me unhappy. I am not fulfilled in my relationship because my partner doesn't want to live the way I want to live. Well, it's just not how this life works. And so as long as we are looking outside ourselves for the cause of our unhappiness, we are delaying our happiness. And we just don't have to delay anymore. But it does require something that many of us have developed so many defense mechanisms around, we just can't even barely be willing to think about it. And it's something that's talked about in one of the, I think, crucial sections of the entire book of A Course in Miracles. It really, it's so foundational to us living a life of joy and happiness. And it's called The Responsibility for Sight. And it's chapter 21, section 2. Now, listen to this and see if this does not just perk you up a little bit that, maybe, just maybe, I could pay attention to this and take this on and make this part of my spiritual practice. So here's the benefit of the spiritual practice that we're going to be given here from A Course in Miracles. It says here, this is the only thing you need do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given to you. Now, let's just say, okay, let's just say you're not so happy about this or that in your life. That's most people have got some areas of their life they're not so happy with. I've got areas of my life that are a bit, I have to do that again, have to fill out those forms, have to answer this or that or blah, blah, blah. There's all stuff that we tend to say, that makes me unhappy, right? It could be your job, your work, your body, your relationship, your family, whatever. Could be the state of your garden or your yard, your car, your bank account. Whatever it is that you think in the world is upsetting you, making you happy, could be the terrorism that we see. Could be all kinds of things. The correction of them all, the liberation from them all, from all the burdens of the world. It's right here. I'm just going to say it again. It says, this is the only thing that you need to do for vision. Vision, what is vision? Vision is insight, wisdom, clarity, which is freedom of mind. This is the only thing you need to do for vision, happiness, release from pain, all kinds of pain, mental pain, emotional pain, physical pain, pain, financial pain, relationship pain, release from all pain, and the escape from sin. Now, what does that mean, the escape from sin? It means all the things that you think about yourself, that you're not good enough, there's something wrong with you, you don't know how to do it, you don't have what it takes, you're such a loser, you keep repeating the same mistakes. I told myself I wouldn't have any brownies and I ate half the tray. I said I'd never sleep with him again and I did it. Ah! All those sins that we hold in our mind, whether we call them sins or not, let's just say they're the things that we're not happy with. This is the only thing you need to do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. Let's just say somebody knocked on your door and said, how would you like to go to a miraculous place where you're happy all the time? And life is unfolding the way you would like it to unfold. And you're living a life of complete joy, prosperity, health, harmony, relationship bliss, creativity, and beauty. And those are just the headlines. Everything else is also good. There's nothing bad about this place. How would you like to go there and bring your whole family with you? Somebody knocked on the door and said, this is the gift that I have to offer you today, and it's free. But you have to do one thing in order for every member of your family and your whole life to be transported there. You have to be willing to do one thing. Would you think the person was crazy? Would you not let them in the door? Would you be willing to talk about it with them? Just consider. Because people read this and have been reading this for nearly 50 years, but not that many people are willing to do it. So here's the one thing you have to do. It says, say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies. So here it is. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Would you be willing to say only this, but mean it with no reservations? It says, deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge, but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. Acknowledge, but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. So this is why I say it's in order for us to live a life of happiness, we really have to understand the law of cause and effect and what perception and projection are. So that's what I'm going to be talking about in our class today. The cornerstone is responsibility. And I like to say it this way. I like to say responsibility. Now, I'm just going to tell you a little story because I always like to just show you that this has not been easy for me. This has not been easy for me. In many ways, I have come to it kicking and screaming. Kicking and screaming, smoking and drinking, cursing and swearing, just rolling around on the floor screaming, no, no, I don't want to, I don't want to. I mean, seriously, I have put up a fight. but I am not interested in that anymore. And so every moment of every day when I can recognize my resistance and my reluctance to simply take responsibility, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I can change my mind. To me, it is the greatest miracle in all humanity that I can change my mind. Because when I was younger, I had to be right. Even if, let's say, just to be ridiculous, even if I was holding something that was burning my hand and the blood was dripping down my arm and somebody said, you know, that's not very smart. You should let that go. You're really going to hurt yourself. I would look at them and say, no, I'm right. I'm right to hold this. That blood dripping down my arm, I love that. That's my favorite part. No, this is good. I like this. I was so stubborn about being right and needing to be right that the idea of taking responsibility for my pain, my suffering, my insanity, my mean, unkind, hurtful choices, the idea of taking responsibility to me, because I was so identified with the ego, was absolute death. Literally, it felt like death to me. It felt like the worst kind of suffering just to admit that my choice had not been a wise one. I just couldn't bear it. And so I'm glad now that I suffered so much when I was younger, because now I have so much compassion for it. And now I really get it. Because otherwise, if I hadn't been so belligerent and so stubborn and so actually mean and cruel and unkind in my younger life, such a know-it-all, then I wouldn't really understand what the challenges are. But I get it. I get that it's not easy. And when I was, I've been a part of the Agape International Spiritual Center in Los Angeles community for 22 years. And I trained to be a science of mind practitioner there, and I trained to be a minister there as well. And when I was being initiated into the Sacred Order of Spiritual Practitioners, which is a spiritual counseling and it's training. It's also a training to be part of the ecclesiastical body. So we're in support of the ministers and the congregation, and it's a holy order, sacred order of practitioners. And in that initiation process, we were told that we would be given a spiritual quality that we were to hold for the congregation. And when in the initiation we went through, it took several hours, very prayerful, and there was meditation and chanting, and there were just so many different components to it. And it took several hours. And I knew I would be getting this quality. And I was waiting. When are they going to give me the quality? Where's my quality? What's my quality going to be? I was a little bit nervous about what my quality would be, because I didn't want to get some crap quality. I wanted to get something good, you know? So one of the very first thing that we did when we came into the building for the initiation was there was a display of these stones that had been painted and said practitioner class of 2000, and they were decorated. And so my escort said, choose a stone. So I chose a stone, and I was carrying this stone around through the initiation. And we were about an hour into the initiation, and we were going from one room to another, walking down the hallway. And I looked down in my hand, and the stone had turned over in my hand, and I saw what was on the bottom side. And it was a single word. And I knew immediately that that was the quality. That was the spiritual quality that I was going to be holding for the congregation. And I knew that I had chosen it. And my immediate response to seeing that word on that stone was I wanted to throw the stone through a window. I wanted to break a window. That was my reaction. I was so upset. I cannot tell you. I was angry And you know what the word was? Responsibility. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but I know it now, that responsibility is the way out of everything. Every form of suffering that we have is to take responsibility for it. Just like it says in very clear black and white here on page 448 of the text in the section Responsibility for Sight. We have to take responsibility for our feelings. We have to take responsibility for everything that happens in our life if we'd like to be happy. And I would actually like to rephrase it right now and say, we get to take responsibility. Thank God there is a way out of suffering, and it is responsibility. And one of the aspects of it that it says here is, acknowledge but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. Well, that leads to happiness. It surely does. So it's responsibility. We have the ability to respond with love. So no matter how mistaken we've been, we can respond with love to ourselves and then share that with others. So in every area of our lives, without exception, wherever we are feeling unhappy, not joyful, wherever we are feeling pain and suffering, we are mistaken in our perspective, in our point of view, in our perception. We are mistaken. And that is why we're suffering. We are not suffering because of what's happening. We are suffering because our perspective is mistaken. So I'll give you a tangible example. Let's say you're in a relationship situation where you're very distressed about the relationship. You're having difficulty communicating with your loved one. This is one of the most common problems we have, right, in this world. We are suffering because our relationships are not going the way we wish they would go. And we're concerned about losing the connection. We're concerned about the flow of love. We're concerned that people don't like us, or that they're unlikable, that the love won't flow, it's being broken, and there's misery. In all those instances, and in all the different myriad of infinite permutations of relationship challenges, if we're feeling upset, it's because we're mistaken. What could be the mistake that we're missing? Well, we're all one. And almost all relationship suffering is the result of thinking that we're separate, we're not connected, the flow is not happening in our love, and the connection is broken or breaking and won't be resumed, and therefore the relationship is going to be permanently damaged. But that's not even possible, because we're one with each other. Love is eternal. Love does not begin and end. We say things like we fall in love, we fall out of love, but that's not even possible. Love is infinite, eternal. It is the ground of our being. It is the essence of our identity. It is our nature. It is all that there is. It has no beginning. It has no end. And it doesn't have a little bit of love and a lot of love. There's just infinite love always present. Our misperception is that it's coming and going. So we think that, like, for instance, one of the conversations I have with a lot of people all the time is they make the meaning that this behavior is love. When they buy me little presents, that's love. When they take my things to the dry cleaners, that's love. When they pay the bills, that's love. When they cook the meals, that's love. When they have sex with me, that's love. When they take care of me, that's love. When they remember my birthday, that's love. When they want to get married, that's love. When they want to go on vacation with me, that's love. We have all these things that we qualify our idea of love with. But none of those things is love. Many people have all the things that somebody else thinks is love, but it doesn't feel like love to them. So it's a mistake. It's a misperception. If we would just say, love is eternal, love is what I am, what is love is what they are, we are one with each other, our love is unbreakable, it's permanent, it's eternal, it has no end. I'm interested in experiencing the perfection of that now and not in judging them and thinking that they should be different or their expressions of love should be different, but rather to be in an awareness of, I have to take responsibility for what's happening in my world, including taking responsibility for what's going on in my relationship. Now, if someone is attacking you and hurting you and beating you, the temptation might be to interpret this as you should be blamed for what someone is doing to you. You should be blamed for mistreatment. But you see, taking responsibility and blame are completely polar opposite things. Completely polar opposite things. In taking 100% responsibility, there is no blame. It's a completely different thing. They just aren't even related. Blame is full of judgment and therefore full of pain. Blame is thinking that something should be different. Responsibility is recognizing perfection is revealing itself, and this is perfectly designed by one whose only purpose is my good. This experience that I'm having is perfectly designed to teach me, to show me something, to allow me to answer a cry for love, to allow me to rise to love and compassion, wisdom and understanding. This is perfectly designed to push me to be more awake and more aware. This is perfectly designed for me to love myself more so that, since like attracts like, I will attract people into my life who are loving and caring for me. There are so many different reasons why, energetically or thought-wise, we're experiencing the specifics of what we're experiencing. It's not even possible to understand it most of the time. So, for instance, I might be having a gnarly, difficult, painful relationship experience with someone and not be able to figure it out. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to understand it. Is this past life karma? Is this because of something from my childhood? Is it because of their childhood? What is happening here? I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to make sense of it. You see, that's where the ego goes, because the ego doesn't know. The ego's always trying to figure things out. The ego's always trying to analyze. The ego's always trying to understand things. And there's just no happiness in that path. The ego doesn't have happiness. It has what it has to do. This is the best case scenario for ego happiness. The best case scenario is that the ego wants something and thinks that that thing is going to make them happy. You know, if my spouse doesn't leave me, that will make me happy. If my boyfriend asks me to marry him, that will make me happy. If I get the job, that will make me happy. If I heal my foot, that will make me happy. We have these ideas that these things will make us happy. And so then, let's say something happens. My boyfriend does ask me to marry him. Woohoo! So for a minute, we think, I'm happy. I'm so happy. I'm getting married. My boyfriend loves me. He really, really loves me. He wants to spend the rest of his life with me. I have total unconditional love and acceptance and codependency for the rest of my life. This is my dream come true. I'm happy. But it doesn't last. Why doesn't it last? Because we're not happy for the reason we think. What we're actually happy for in that instant is the thing that we wanted, we now have. So that this illusion of happiness comes from, for a moment, I have what I want, and I'm not wanting anything right this second. But you know what? You could be like, just for years, hoping and praying that your boyfriend will ask you to marry him and you will be so happy when he does, and he does, and then 10 minutes later, let's say, you get stung by a bee. Well, you're not so happy anymore. Now you're upset. Or maybe he doesn't give you the ring you want. And you're like, oh, gosh, I don't want this ring, this ugly, hideous ring that his mom had. They didn't have any money. This is like a terrible ring. I don't want this ring. I'm not happy anymore. Well, I'm happy he married, but this is not what I wanted. You see, the ego's only idea of happiness is that briefly, for a moment, you think you have what you want, you stop wanting. Just for a minute, you stop craving. That's the only possibility that the ego has of happiness. Now, the spirit, on the other hand, happiness, joy, real joy, it's just unconditional. It has no circumstance that it's related to. And I discovered this for myself when my mom was sick and, in theory, dying of cancer. She had a terminal diagnosis. She was very sick. It was apparent she was making her way to the door. And it was very stressful. I was a full-time caregiver along with my dad, and it was very challenging on all levels. And yet, I felt this incredible joy in the midst of it, in the midst of the pain and the stress, the pain of her physical body, and watching that deterioration, watching my father as he's unable to stop the exit of his sweetheart of 50 years. He can't ease her suffering or ease her pain. Not really. He can't protect her. He can't make it any different than it is. He felt so helpless and stressed. But I felt this unconditional foundation of joy. Why? Because for the first time in my life, I was just absolutely adoring my mother. She let me love and adore her. She didn't fight me. She totally received all the love and adoration I had to give for her. And I got to absolutely love and adore her all day long. So I'd wake up in the morning and I'd think about how I was going to care for my mother that day. And every day in the morning, in the evening, throughout the day, I would massage her hands and her feet and her arms and her legs. Every day I gave her a facial. And I would just be working on her arms and her hands with essential oils and beautiful things. And sometimes we would talk and sometimes we wouldn't. And a lot of times we'd just look at each other the way a mother and child look at each other, with absolute total love, acceptance, and adoration. We were receiving each other's love fully for the first times in our life. And from that came the joy. That was true joy. Even amidst the circumstances that were quite literally horrifying, the things that were transpiring with my mother's physical body were literally the stuff of horror movies. But there was this joy, and we experienced it, and we shared it, and it was constant. Because that's the nature of love. Now, what I did in the time that my mother was so sick for several years and getting closer and closer to shuffling off the mortal coil was I decided to take 100% responsibility for the quality of our relationship. I decided to finally stop blaming my mother, stop blaming myself, and I let the Holy Spirit do the heavy lifting. And I got down on my knees many a time and said, Holy Spirit, I feel so attached to this judgment. I want to blame my mother for this. I want to blame myself for that. It feels so strong. But no matter how strong it feels, that ego attachment to the resentments and the regrets and the shame and the blame and the hurt and the thoughts of revenge and all that stuff, I'm not interested in that anymore. I'm only interested in freedom for both of us. And I am willing to do whatever it takes for us to be free to love each other fully and completely without reservation. And I made that prayer every day, over and over and over again, because I had energized in the course of our 40-some years of being in relationship with each other, I had energized a million resentments and regrets and hurts and upsets and shames and blames. I made them so real. I had little alt stories built around all of them. I had written about them and shared them with my friends and my therapists and on and on and on. I had invested years of my life cumulatively, years and years and years and years and years to saying, this is real. This is what happened. This happened to me. It was my suffering. It ruined my life. On and on and on, making it so real. But I finally got that the only way out of all of that and to move into the space, like it says here, where the effects of all your mistakes disappear, the only way was total 100% responsibility with zero blame. And I was willing to do it because the clock was ticking. My mom was moving on. And I made a decision. Like I said the other day in class, let's get her done. Let's get her done, like Larry the Cable Guy. Let's get her done. I am doing this. It is happening now. The Holy Spirit is working through me. It is happening now. I'm not putting it off to the future. Now. Now is the time of my liberation. Because, you know, now is God is a now system. Love is a now system. It's a now thing. You can't love someone in the past and you can't love them in the future. You can only love them now. And love is the only healer of all issues. Because love is our natural state. Love is what we are. Teach only love because that is what you are. So love is our natural state. If we're looking for something else to heal us, we don't understand what caused the disturbance. Let me say that again. If we're looking for something other than love to heal our life, we don't understand what caused the disturbance. Law of cause and effect. Every thought, every belief has an effect. The cause is in the mind. The teaching of A Course in Miracles is all healing is at the level of the mind. It doesn't say some healing is at the level of the mind. All healing is at the level of the mind. It's the only place where it takes place. If we're trying to have healing based on anything in the world, we're engaged in what A Course in Miracles calls magic. It's magical thinking, which means that we think that the cause is in the world. If we think that the healing can come from something in the world, we think the cause is from something in the world, but it never will be. everything is at the level of the mind because the world that we're experiencing is a projection of our mind. So think of it this way. Your mind is like a projector. It really helps to think about this. I like to think of it as a slide projector or a movie projector. So if you think that the problem in your that you're seeing on the screen is something related to the screen, you've forgotten that you're the projector. And your thoughts are the film or the slide in the projector. So if you'd like to change what you see on the screen, you have to change what you're holding in the projector. So I think of the projector as really our awareness. Okay? So our awareness is like that projector. And our attention is the light that's shining through that projector. So whatever we're holding in our mind and placing our attention on is what we're going to experience in our life. You know, and I've had experiences. I give this example. God's given me so many examples. But I have an example where I once had a date set up with a man I was really interested in having a date with. And it was good. We had known each other for a while. It was going to be one of the first dates that we had. And I was excited for it. And the relationship was new. And he totally stood me up. Completely stood me up. Not a peep, nothing, heard nothing. Got all dressed up and ready on a Friday night. No show, nothing. Well, I got angry and I started thinking, that son of a gun, I'm never going out on a date with him again. If he thinks he can treat me that way, I don't need any of that. I don't even need to ever speak to him again. We're not even friends anymore. I'm telling you, this guy is nothing good. I'm glad I know it now. And boy, oh boy, what a mean dog. You know, I'm sure there was a lot of profanity too. So I'm trying to clean it up for the family crowd here. But I was really hurt because it was so clear. The message was so clear. Jennifer, you are not important to me. I do not value you. You are not special. I don't even need to call you to cancel. I just don't even have to show up. And so I thought, I am never forgiven that. I'm always remembering that. And I am going to punish you for it. You're bad. So then the next day, I get a call from this fellow, and he says, oh, Jennifer, I am so sorry. I was rushed to the hospital. I had this thing, and I had my phone, but I didn't have my charger. I couldn't remember your phone number. I didn't know how to contact you, and I was in all this, you know, drama at the hospital. And so I just got home from the hospital. I just walked in the door and plugged in my phone. I got your phone number, and I could call you. And I am just so, so sorry. I can't believe this happened. I hope you'll forgive me. Well, and of course, what am I going to say? But, oh, honey, of course, I knew something had to happen. I was just so concerned and worried that you were okay because I just knew you're such a good person. You would never just stand me up. I knew it had to be something. I was so worried and concerned for you. I'm so glad you're okay. No, I didn't say that. I didn't know what to say. I don't even remember what I said now. But you see, I had a completely imaginary experience of being disrespected, not cared for, abused, mistreated. But where was it happening? It wasn't happening for real. It just was in my mind. But as soon as I could see clearly what was happening, all that fell away. All the blame, all the shame, all the judgment, all the hurt, all the resentment, all of it fell away as soon as I knew what was really going on. That's what this is telling us. When we're willing to take responsibility for everything we see, all the effects of our mistakes will disappear. It's going to go back to the beginning of this paragraph 2. So it's chapter 21, section 2, paragraph 2. This is the only thing you need to do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations, for here the power of salvation lies. And here's what you say. I am responsible for what I see. I choose the feelings I experience. And I decide upon the goal I would achieve. And everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. Now, the thing that comes up for all of us is, wait a minute, when did I ask for this? What? What? I didn't know I was asking for this. When did I ask for this? You know, it's like you're sitting in a restaurant and you think you've ordered peace and happiness. You think you've ordered a big stack of pancakes with strawberries and whipped cream, and somebody brings you a plate of dirt. Wait a minute. When did I ask for the plate of dirt? No, I put in an order for strawberries and pancakes with whipped cream. What happened? We have to recognize that there's no way to thwart the law of cause and effect. So it can't be bent. It can't be distorted or thwarted. So we have to take it on faith that whatever we're seeing is what we asked for, even though we don't remember asking for it. And we just have to honestly get over it. Because there's just no other way. We just have to get over it. And in fact, I have a workshop that's totally free. It's on the homepage of jenniferhadley.com. It's called How to Get Over It. And I've been teaching forgiveness for 16 years. And it is challenging for all of us to forgive everything. But that's the only way to perfect happiness, is we have to be willing to forgive everything. Everything. Now, the thing is that most people don't know what forgiveness is. I've worked with so many Course in Miracles students who've been studying the Course far longer than I have, and they still don't understand what forgiveness is because they're just not quite willing to yet. There have been so many things that, like, for instance, the law of cause and effect. I was studying the law of cause and effect for years. For years and years. I was teaching the law of cause and effect for years before I finally went, oh, I get it. I get it. Everything I see, everything, no exceptions. I have to forgive everything. Okay. It took me a long time to be willing. I had to work up to it. Not that everyone else does, because I am dedicating my life to supporting people and not using time to have a healing. As a Science of Mind practitioner and minister, my teacher was Ernest Holmes, the founder, not physically my teacher, but through his books and his teachings. And the one of the teachings that he has about healing, it always stuck with me, where he says in the Science of Mind textbook, the only time it takes to have a healing is the time that it takes to have a realization of truth. A realization of truth always accompanies taking responsibility. As long as we think the cause of our unhappiness is outside of us, we're not taking responsibility. We won't have a realization of truth. And the realization of truth is the thing that sets us free. So that's why Jesus is telling us here, this is the only thing you need to do for vision, happiness, release from pain, and the complete escape from sin, all to be given to you. So it's, and responsibility is forgiveness. Because what true forgiveness is no judgment, non-judgment. What unforgiveness is judgment. It's saying, oh, I'm right about this. This is my interpretation, and my interpretation is right. Now, God gives me so many examples in my life of where I thought I was right, but I was wrong. Because I only was seeing what I wanted to see. So with the man who stood me up, I had a belief of unworthiness, not good enough, bad and wrong, and I was totally projecting it on him when I made him wrong. I didn't want to believe that I wasn't good enough. So instead of that, I took offense and said, he's the one that's not good enough for me. But then when I found out why he stood me up, I realized, oh, I am so judgmental. I didn't have one thought of concern for him. Not one thought. He could have been killed in a car accident. And I wouldn't have thought for one second anything but he is rejecting me. He is dismissing me. He is being disrespectful to me. Why would I think those thoughts unless I believed I was bad and wrong and not worthy of love and care and kindness? I projected it totally onto him. God gave me this experience, the higher Holy Spirit self gave me this experience so I could look at what I really believed and thought. That I was the destroyer of my happiness. Who knows what would have happened if I had just thought when he didn't show up, oh, I hope he's okay. Because I could have made some calls. Is he okay? To people. And they might have told me, oh, he went to the hospital. Oh, my God. And I could have gone and visited him in the hospital. But I made it all about me. He's disrespecting me because I think I'm so bad and wrong. Of course he's disrespecting me. I'm not worth respecting. I'm just looking at my own beliefs over and over and over again. That's what this world is about. So I'm going to invite you right now to just tune in and think about some relationship you have where you're feeling hurt and betrayed and angry, and you've got so much evidence that they're treating you badly. They're so wrong and they're so bad. They're so mean. They're so stupid. They don't care. Could be anything. Could be your work. Could be family. Could be friends. Could be your neighbor. What if all they're doing is showing you what you think about yourself? Because, you know, that's this mirror effect. So people are disrespectful to me. They are. They're disrespectful to me. I see it, you know, happening. Could happen in many different places. People are inconsiderate of me. People are rude to me, say unkind things to me. But the difference is now, most of the time, it doesn't bother me. I don't feel hurt by it. I don't feel angered or upset by it. And if I'm in my right mind, I go, oh, honey, are you okay? What's happening over there? You're not feeling yourself today, that you're being unkind to me? How can I support you? What's going on? You need some hugs? How about a back rub? What's going on? And inevitably, when something like that happens now, and I say, oh, honey, are you okay? They're like, oh, no, I'm not okay. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't think you were okay because you were being mean to me, and that's not who you are. Let's see what's going on. How can I be a support to you? But you see, we see glorified in television and movies that when somebody is behaving unkindly or rudely or crazily or angrily or whatever it is, that the people around them go into an attitude like this. Hey, I'm not taking your stuff. You can't talk to me like that. You talk to the hand. I'm not listening to you. You're bad. You're wrong. You should feel guilty. You should feel ashamed. You are not good. But it's very rare that someone will just open their heart and open their mind and open their arms and say, oh, my darling, how can I care for you today? You seem to be upset today. How can I extend myself to you? But you see, this is how we treat ourselves. When we are rude and unkind and unloving and hurtful and all that stuff, we think we should be punished. And we think that God will punish us. And so we do the same to others. Perception and projection, dancing around it over and over and over again. So the key to our happiness is to recognize that the world is not happening to us. It's happening by us. It's happening by us. And so we're here to be the light of the world. And we are the light of the world. We have everything we need to be the light of the world. It's all pre-installed. And if we can't find the switch to flip it on and shine the light of the world, it will be given to us. All we have to do. Course in Miracles literally says to us, ask and it is given because it has been given. Everything has already been given to us. It's all completely pre-installed. It's only our belief that something is missing that causes our suffering. We think we don't have it, and then we start looking for it in the world, or we look for someone in the world to give it to us, but we won't find it because we're not looking in the right place. Now, there's another little prayer in Course in Miracles that is very helpful along these lines, and it's on page 90 at the very end of Chapter 5. And Chapter 5 is about healing and wholeness. And it's Section 7, the decision for God. And it says here at the end of it that when we're feeling upset, when we're feeling disconnected, these are the words for us to say to ourselves as sincerely as we can, remembering that the Holy Spirit will respond fully to our slightest invitation. The Holy Spirit will respond fully to our slightest invitation. I love that. And I have tested this. I know it to be so. I invite you to do the same. It says, this is the prayer for us to say to ourselves. Instead of saying, you stupid loser, you pathetic loser, this is happening to you again. Instead, this is what we say. I must have decided wrongly because I am not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide God, for me. I choose to let him by allowing the Holy Spirit to decide for God, for me. So it's that surrender. It's moving into that place of, Holy Spirit, decide for me. I made a decision to judge, to attack, to believe in lack and limitation, things that actually aren't even real, but I can experience them in this world if I believe them. I decided all these things. I decided who's bad and who's good, who's right and who's wrong. And that's why I'm in pain now. But I see I made a wrong decision. Holy Spirit, undo all the consequences for me. Set me straight. Help me to remember the truth that sets me free. I'm willing now. I'm willing to take responsibility for what I think I see. And literally, as it says here, everything will be corrected. All the effects of all the mistakes we've ever made, the years that the locusts have eaten, will be given back to us with flowers and a bow and encrusted in chocolate and diamonds or whatever you think is good. I have come to places in my life, and I'm still doing this work. I don't pretend that I don't have work left to do, and I rejoice to do my work. It used to be I hated it. Now I rejoice to do it. I rejoice for every time I can find another judgment or opinion that was a wrong decision that I can offer up, because it takes me closer to my freedom. And if you do this in a concerted way, day after day, your life will change so quickly you can't even believe it. In fact, this is one of the main things that I see in my classes. So I have a I have a 7-week boot camp called Finding Freedom. It's a whole class. It has 50 videos and classes and weekly calls with me for 3 months. And there's a whole curriculum. There's a 400-page workbook. There are all these different aspects to it to support you in sticking to it, in really doing it. Because A Course in Miracles is brilliant. It's fantastic. It's so scrumptious. It's so helpful. However, many of us find it very challenging to do it on our own. This is one of the main reasons why I have study group support and encourage people to start study groups. So one of the things I'd like to point out to you is I'd like to give you some of the resources that we have for free at livingacourseinmiracles.com and jenniferhadley.com, because it's not enough. This is what Lisa and I were talking about yesterday. We've proved it. We know it. It is not enough to just think about it. It is not enough. We have to be willing to actually apply it. And doing it with others is so much easier. It's so much easier to hold hands with other people who are doing it too. There's so much healing that comes when we can actually say, like I told my story, I admit it, you know, this is what I did, this is what I thought, this is what happened. It's so healing to just bring it to the light. Remember, the light is our attention. And this is one of the things that all of us resist doing, just placing our attention on the steps of healing, on increasing our willingness. So one of the tools I have for you, one of the resources at livingacourseinmiracles.com is study group support. So there are calls that we've done that tell you how to start a study group, how to run a study group, how to facilitate a study group, how to promote a study group, all kinds of things. These calls are with accomplished study group leaders who've been doing it for 10 years or more. They're total experts, and they're free. Those calls are completely free. So you can download them and listen to them from livingacourseinmiracles.com. I have my weekly radio show. I've been doing it since September 2011, and I have 245 episodes as of right now. They're all free, and we're in the process of transcribing them to support people who are either deaf or for whom English is a second language. So people have been generously donating to make that project possible, and you'll be hearing pretty soon how you can download those transcripts, and we're well underway with that project. I also offer free prayer every day from jenniferhadley.com, free written inspiration every day. I have a number of free workshops that are available at jenniferhadley.com if you look around there. So there, those are just some of the many free resources. And then if you're interested in taking things a step further and you'd like my support, there's my Finding Freedom Boot Camp. I'm going to be starting another boot camp in August. If you would like to start right now, you can. And then the group will join in August. And that's my Finding Freedom 7-week spiritual boot camp. I have a year-long class called Masterful Living. It's a beautiful, powerful experience, and Finding Freedom can be a great introduction, although it's not necessary for Masterful Living. And Masterful Living starts in January. So Finding Freedom is a great way to get yourself prepped for Masterful Living starting in January. Though many people do take Masterful Living without taking Finding Freedom. But if you'd like to be in class with me, you can. I also, right now, I'm teaching a forgiveness class. Our next class is Monday night. So just letting you know that there are many, many resources here for you and more. Also, some people really like to do live in-person events, and I certainly do. I know that we accomplish so much healing when we come together live in person, and so I am doing a number of retreats this year. There's the Self-Love and Extreme Pampering Retreat in Thailand in November. Everybody's looking forward to that one. Extreme Pampering and Self-Love. There's a Course in Miracles retreat, Living a Course in Miracles retreat in North Carolina in October, Columbus Day weekend. The following weekend, weekend retreat of forgiveness, totally focused on forgiveness. I've got my New Year's reboot retreat coming up New Year's weekend at the end of the year. Start your new year right. And then if you're interested in becoming a spiritual counselor, I have a spiritual counseling certification program, and I offer a week-long intensive that anyone can take. And the next one is in early September in the UK, and the one after that is in early November in Thailand. I love to go take us to an exotic, beautiful place where we can retreat from the world and focus on doing our spiritual healing work. I find it's a really wonderful combination to change the environment and to come together for deep, deep healing. It's profound. And I'm also doing a sacred sites tour that's 5 days and four nights, the first weekend in September, and that's in Salisbury, England, and we're going to go to Glastonbury and Avebury and Bath and Stonehenge and a lot of the great sacred sites that I love so much from around there. So those are some of the things that are coming up and some of the free things, but there's a lot. And not all the retreats are currently listed at jenniferhadley.com, so I'll be announcing them. Stay tuned to the events and newsletters. Something else, we have discounted tickets still left for the A Course in Miracles conference in 2018. And so you can get those discounted tickets if you go to jenniferhadley.com on the events page. Most everything is listed there, the free stuff, or at livingacourseofmiracles.com. So I'm going to, we're at time here, and I just want to recap a couple of things here. So if you think that everything that robs you of joy, health, wealth, and happiness is happening in the world of form to you, recognize that your thinking, your beliefs are the causation, and all healing is at the level of the mind, and you can change your mind. You don't have to know how to change your mind to change your mind. All you have to do is be willing and call upon the Holy Spirit to help you. The more willing you are, the easier it will be. So what I say is, since all healing is at the level of the mind, we do our work in the invisible field of mind rather than pushing density. Pushing density is trying to have the healing by working magical solutions in the world of form, and it just doesn't last. It's not lasting healing. It's not true healing. Love is the only true healer there is, because love is the only thing there is. Yes, forgiveness is the way. Forgiveness is non-judgment. So we have to be willing to release the meaning we've made of it, which is our interpretation, which is not true. Remember that oftentimes when we have new facts or new information, we realize that our interpretation was incorrect. And so anytime we're upset, our interpretation is incorrect. And we don't have to figure out how to correct. We allow the Holy Spirit to do it for us. We partner up. That's what I say. So there's only one problem in this world, and the problem is we believe we're separate from God, but it's not true. It never will be true. So if we believe that self-confidence, self-esteem, and happiness come from what we're experiencing in the world, we're delaying our actual happiness. Happiness comes from being in service to love. And that's what being truly helpful is. That's our purpose in this world, to be truly helpful by being loving. And we all can do that in every moment of every day if we're willing. So I'm going to invite you to join with me in prayer now and to cultivate that willingness, that great expansive willingness, the willingness to know ourselves as free, to know our true identity, and to see our brothers and sisters are offering us an opportunity to see their true identity. And sometimes it's easier to see how perfect and lovable other people are, and then they can help us see how perfect and lovable we are. So we place our hand on our heart once again, so grateful and so thankful to open ourselves to an unprecedented, unlimited love, the love that is our true nature. We partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self and rejoice to allow ourselves to have a healing. We're choosing our healing now. We're sharing the benefits of our healing with everyone because we're one with them. We are grateful and thankful to allow our healing. Grateful, grateful, grateful that we can change our mind. In gratitude, we let it be. In gratitude, we know it is done. And so it is. Amen. 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 Thank you for your deep and beautiful listening. It's a sacred experience to join with you. I love you, and I thank God for you. Mwah. God bless you.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.